Good morning, church family, and also those who may be visiting our website who are not members of our church. I was reminded when I drove up this morning and I walked through this empty worship center and the rest of our buildings that 2017 Columbiana Road is buildings. It's not the church. The church is you, and just as your pastor, I want to let you know I miss you. I regret that we're not able to gather together. We enjoy that fellowship, but I am so thankful for technology that in the midst of a pandemic that we can still have a worship service, still open up God's word, and still be encouraged by his word. So I want to ask you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Now, I know many of you have already turned in your Bibles to the book of Mark because we were going through that series, but I just felt today we need to step away from that series for 1 week, and let's take a look at a message that I believe that the Apostle Paul has for us that can help us as we go through this pandemic. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to follow with me. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Yodia and I entreat Sinti to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The Apostle Paul is in prison, and he is writing a letter back to a church that's in Philippi, and they're going through some pretty anxious times themselves. Their founding pastor, Paul, is in prison and most likely is awaiting death. They have their one of their closest, strongest members is a man by the name of Epaphroditus. He is over there helping Paul, and he's got some type of illness, some type of virus, and they're worried if he's even going to live or make it and exactly what his future is. The church is also getting a little bit of tension within, some conflict within the church, and then on the outside, they're experiencing some persecution with probably more persecution to come. So you can see that it is a very anxious time for them. But yet, the Apostle Paul, sitting in prison, probably close to death, is writing a letter to a church, and he's telling them to be joyful in the midst of all of this activity. So today, I want to talk to you about dealing with anxiety. And it is a message that we can apply because we're dealing with the COVID-19 right now. However, we deal with anxiety all throughout our lives, big things and small things. And so let this be a passage that will apply to you, not just today or these next few weeks, but really for the remainder of your life. So let's just take a look at it. The very first thing, there are going to be 7 points that I want you to write down. So grab your notebook, write these 7 things down, and it will definitely help us as we walk together through these next number of weeks. The first is remember what you possess and stand firm in the Lord. Remember what you possess and stand firm in the Lord. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore." Hey, you've been around me long enough to know that whenever you see the word "therefore," you ask yourself, what's that there for? And you go back to what he just talked about. Look what he says in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Paul is telling them, listen, because you are citizens of heaven and because Christ will return one day and transform your lowly bodies into resurrected bodies and he'll subject all things to himself, you are to have courage and you are to stand firm. You stand firm because of all that you possess. And that word, stand firm, it's a picture of a soldier who's standing erect and protecting those who may try to attack him. The Roman army was known for this, of being valiant, brave warriors who would stand firm no matter what type of attack came to them. Paul is saying that the church needs to do this. Paul is saying that you and I, we need to do this. We need to stand firm. But we're not just standing in our own power. He says, stand firm thus in the Lord. Listen to the Lord and follow the Lord. So if I could put it this way, is that when we as believers walk in the Lord all day long, our minds and our thoughts are upon the Lord. So when the anxieties of life come, and whether they're small or whether it's a coronavirus, we are conscious and aware of the Lord's presence and the Lord's strength. Therefore, we're more able to stand firm against these attacks. I did some research about some of the churches in other parts of our world that have been dealing with this virus. And one that jumped out at me is a pastor by the name of Mark Oden in Naples, Italy. And if you've kept up with the news, you know, Italy has really been hit hard. And this was his statement to his church. He says, "What's your reaction to the crisis? It's so easy to be gripped by fear. It's easy to see the coronavirus everywhere. Everywhere that I look, on the keyboard of my computer, in the air I breathe, in every physical contact, and around every corner waiting to infect me. Are we panicking? Or perhaps this crisis is challenging us to react in a different way, with faith and not fear. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who is also the resurrection and the life. Surely, only Jesus is in control of this situation. Surely, only He can guide us through this storm. He calls us to trust and believe, to have faith and not fear." I did a little bit more research on this virus, and I found that this virus is 1/900th the width of a human hair. 1/900th the width of a human hair. And then I read Isaiah 40:12, and it says, "Our Father God measures the universe by His fingers. By the palm of His hand, He measures the universe." Listen, God is on the throne. He is in control, and His presence brings us calmness. So the first thing is, let's stay near to God, let's be courageous, and let's stand firm. Number two, resolve conflict so kingdom work will not be hindered. Resolve conflict so kingdom work will not be hindered. Paul, writing this letter to the church, points out two women who are having some conflict with each other. It's not doctrinal. Both of them were strong leaders in the church. There's just something where they kind of got yang-yang after each other, and it was causing a lot of conflict, not just with them, but with other people in the church. And he says, "I entreat you." That's a strong word. It means I'm begging you to be reconciled. And he says, it's just a clash of personalities. Go figure. Who would ever think that two people would not get along? Well, it's happening here. And in the ESV, he says, "I'm calling a companion." That literally is a yoke fellow, a third person to come in, and one to sort of mitigate these circumstances. And let's talk through this, and let's see if we can get y'all back on the same page. Let's resolve this conflict. Well, that got me thinking when I read those two verses. It got me thinking about social isolation. And they're asking us to be isolated. And for most of us, that means you need to stay in your home, which means that spouses will be together. We'll be with our kids. Brothers and sisters will be together. If you're single, it could be roommates that are together. And so you're going to be spending a whole lot of time together. Let me encourage you from this passage. If there has been some underlying conflict in your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your relationships, I would use this as a time to be able to deal with that, because you got a captive audience. Nobody's going anywhere anytime soon. So while you're together, why don't you kind of dig out those bitter roots, those things that have been festering there for a while, and use this time as a time to sit down, have some honest conversations, and let's resolve any of those conflicts that we have. So let's take this time. Use it effectively to strengthen our own relationships. Number three, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why did he say that twice? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Like one of the commentators said that, they said, I think that he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And he stopped for a moment and he said, well, let me see. Let me think about every situation. This. Okay, yeah. Again, I say rejoice. He thought through everything. He thought of all the problems that we've already mentioned. We thought about his own situation. He said, in the midst of that, you are to rejoice. And that means you rejoice under all circumstances. No matter what sacrifices you have to make, no matter what trials you bear or what losses you sustain, you are to rejoice. Even in the midst of the uncertainty of a virus and the uncertainty of the financial markets, yes, says we are to rejoice. Now, Paul is not insensitive to the troubles of others. Rather, he is directing us to count the will of God as our highest joy and thus be capable of knowing inner peace and joy in every circumstance. He is directing them to count the will of God as their highest joy. Listen, your joy is not based on circumstances, but on what Christ has done for you and in you. Your joy is not based on circumstances, but on what Christ has done for you and in you. Our Christian joy is independent of all things on earth because it has its source in the continual presence of Christ. Your joy is based on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 talked about that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy that was set before him. When Jesus went to the cross, was that a pleasant experience? Not at all. It was a painful experience. It was painful physically. It was painful spiritually. It was painful emotionally. But he said he was willing to do all that because he looked beyond it. And he saw the joy that was going to take place. He knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. And he knew by being raised from the dead, he would conquer death and he would conquer sin. And that he would be exalted to be at the right hand of the Father. And that he would provide a bridge and a way for all of us to come into a relationship with God. He knew that joy. And so that joy that was set before him. And so he could rejoice even in the most difficult of circumstances. And this is our challenge. As we walk together through this challenge of this pandemic, may we be people that are rejoicing in the Lord, finding our joy in Christ, and not being blinded by the circumstances of this world. Number four is this, and that is reasonableness to everyone. Reasonableness to everyone. Now, already, some of you really adept people have figured out every point's going to start with an R. So you're on a roll. So this is our fourth. And reasonableness to everyone. Look at verse 5. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, these verses 4 through 6 and 4 through 9 are well known. People preach them, talked about them. A lot of times verse 5 gets passed over. Hey, this is exactly where we need to be today. Reasonableness. Here's the definition. It means gracious, considerate, a willingness to yield one's personal rights to show consideration to others. Let that sink in for just a moment. Reasonableness to everyone. That means you're to be gracious. You're to be considerate to everyone. When he writes this letter to the people at Philippi, he's saying you need to be reasonable and gracious to your Christian friends. You need to be gracious and reasonable to those who are not believers who are persecuting you. You need to be gracious to those that are false teachers. There is a reasonableness that you are to have during these times of anxiety. So what does that mean for us today? It means for us today that we need to have a reasonableness. We need to be gracious. We need to be considerate to the terrified throngs at Target and the panicking people at Publix. Reasonableness. And if I could just ask you, how much toilet paper do you need? You know, I'm sitting here just wondering why people are hoarding up toilet paper left and right. They don't care if there's any for anyone else. We're going to hoard it ourselves. I've seen people walking out of a store with so much toilet paper. I think that flu's not their main problem. I think gastrointestinal issues may be their main problem. So reasonableness for everyone. Now, seriously, when a community is in a state of fear and uncertainty, because of our faith in a mighty God, we should be a model to the world on how to respond. The pandemic should not be seen as a crisis to be feared, but as a great opportunity for ministry to be exercised. And I so regret that you're not sitting here right now, because that would be an amen line. Can I get an amen from anybody? Amen. Yes, I heard that. Yes, I'm here about there. Let me read that to you one more time. This pandemic should not be seen as a crisis to be feared, but as a great opportunity for ministry to be exercised. We have an amazing opportunity to speak in terms of our hope and confidence in God through this season. Now, there's one thing to challenge us to do this, but what about people around the world who are in a lot more difficult situations than we are? I want to read an excerpt from a note that we got from one of our missionary families that are serving in North Africa. And this is what they said. Our big concern is that a third world country like this won't be able to handle a huge outbreak like Italy or the United States, because the medical facilities and government are just not as strong as European countries or America. So if things get bad here, they could get very bad. We are praying that that does not happen, and are looking for opportunities to use this as a way to share hope. Reasonableness for everyone. A family who is sitting in dire straits, more so than any of us here, and yet they close it out by saying, we are looking for ways to share hope. Listen, our challenge is to look for practical ways that we can care for our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers. We have the opportunity to both minister to others and to engage in gospel conversations. I will guarantee you, the reality of mortality is at the forefront of most people's minds. And as this virus continues to spread, many people are going to have open minds and willing hearts to hear the good news about Jesus, the one who can give them eternal life. Reasonableness for everyone. Let me tell you the fifth point. It is to refrain from worry, but pray about everything. Refrain from worry, but pray about everything. Verse 6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He says, don't be anxious. Anxious, that is a word that means to worry. It is concern that's working overtime. And science has proven that worry causes all kinds of problems. Worry leads to depression, to discouragement, to physical illness, and it can lead to unwise and harmful decisions. Did you hear that last part? It can lead to unwise and harmful decisions. And as we walk through this time of the pandemic, this is not a time for us to be consumed with worry, because that will often lead us to make decisions that are both unwise and can be harmful. And so he looks here and Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Literally, it means not even one thing. Not too long ago, Rick Warren says that God encourages his followers to fear not. And that in the Bible, he says to fear not 365 times, one for each day of the year. And that's pretty good. This may be leap year, so you're on your own on day 366. But what he's saying is that God did not intend for Christians to spend their days preoccupied with anxiety and worry. And this is because worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. We are all professional worriers. There are things that we have worried about. But I think I can, I don't even need you to raise your hand wherever you're watching this, but I think we can all agree, never have we worried a problem so far to where it went away. Worry has never solved anything. What it does, it really empties today of its strength. However, whenever I've stepped away from worry and I've moved to prayer, and I said, Lord, I want to pray about this, God has been able to take that situation and has helped it. It says here in this verse of Scripture, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. That is because prayer cures anxiety. You come into the presence of God. You open up your heart to Him about everything. And if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. So you just need to ask yourself the question, do you believe that your circumstances are too much for God? Do you believe that COVID-19 is too powerful for God? If you do, then your God is too small. Because we need to remember that nothing is too great for God's power and nothing is too small for his fatherly care. Nothing is too great for God's power and nothing is too small for his fatherly care. And this is a great statement for us to hold on to, because as we're looking at a pandemic, we need to remember that first part. Nothing is too great for God's power. But when all of this passes, and it will, and we begin to get back to life as normal, as usual, there will be just living the regular days of our lives, and things will start coming into our life that bring about worry and anxiety. And we need to understand that the same God that handed the big things was also the one who gives his fatherly care to the small things. I love the translation of one of the Bibles, and it says, hey, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And when you pray, he says, pray in supplication. What's supplication? That means a humble and a specific action, a specific request. And he says, do it in supplication and with thanksgiving. That's the attitude of gratitude, that no matter what your situation is, you have more things to be thankful for than you have problems. And so we come to God. Don't worry about anything, he says, but pray about everything in supplication. Humble yourself before God. Specifically pray for the needs that you have. Things that are around, that circle around the pandemic, but there are other things too that are going on in your life. Lift those things up to him. And as you lift those things up to him, you're praying for him, you approach him with this attitude of gratitude. Thankful for all that he's given you. Thankful for his son, Jesus Christ, and for salvation that you have. And just go on and on with the blessings that you have. And when you do that, then you will live up to this point that we said, and that is to refrain from worry, but pray about everything. All right, number six is this. Receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When he starts this verse off, he says, and what that means is, he says, and what just took place in verse 6, that prayer that you gave, when you give that prayer, then guess what's going to happen? The peace of God, that inner sense of contentment that is supplied by God, the inner peace of the soul that's grounded in God's presence and his promise, that will guard your hearts. That peace of God, to know that God will provide, he will guide, he will strengthen, he will sustain, he will deliver, he will encourage, he will save, and he gives you real life now and also life forever. He says this peace, it surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. It does not say that God will deliver you from that situation, nor does it say that God will answer your prayer exactly the way you want it. But it does say that God will give you and give me peace, and that we can be confident and secure in the love and the care of God. And so when I honestly come to him in prayer, oftentimes the things specifically I ask for, he's not going to give me at times specifically what I've asked for, but he brings a peace and an understanding that helps me begin to see his mind and his understanding. And that just brings a peace to my soul. And I love the place where it says it surpasses all understanding. And we could, it may be a time for you as a family while you're together today and maybe the rest of this week to just think about times in your own life to where God has given you a peace that surpasses all understanding. It could have been a death of a loved one or of a family member. It could have been a setback in a career. It could have been a rejection or something that was a failure along the way. And yet in the midst of that, as you prayed to God, he gave you a peace that you said, I can't really explain it. Well, this is the way our God works. It surpasses all understanding. And he says that this type of peace will guard our hearts. That's a military word. It means to protect. It means to garrison. It's a picture of a bunch of Roman soldiers standing over protecting somebody or some place. And Paul tells us that the peace of God will keep and guard your heart and your mind. So let me just put it like this. When apprehension, anxiety, and worry try to break into your life and invade your heart and mind, but yet you have been praying with supplication and thanksgiving, It says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will protect, guard, keep, and defend you. As we walk through this pandemic, and if we will be people that will lift up our prayers to God, that we refrain from worrying about everything but praying about everything, and as we pray to Him, He says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts. And we then can become that model to others and to a world that may be going into hysteria about all that's taking place. We could be a calm voice, and we're a calm voice of reason because of the God that we serve. And so this puts us in a position to be able to minister to others as we walk through this pandemic. And then the very last thing is verses 8 and 9. He says, reflect on things that are excellent and wholesome. Reflect on things that are excellent and wholesome. He's telling us, I want you to keep on thinking and doing what is morally and spiritually excellent. Look what he says in verse 8 and 9. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Right thinking is the first step to righteous and victorious living. Right thinking is the first step to righteous and victorious living. Paul understood the fact that a person's thoughts determine who that person is, their attitudes, and how they act towards others. And when he says think about these things, he's not talking about just take a fleeting thought. He is saying, I want you to deliberate on these things. I want there to be prolonged contemplation. Count these things. Chart your course according to them. And if you're tempted to dwell on the hysteria of the pandemic, he is encouraging us to focus on things that are excellent and things that are wholesome. When I drove in this morning, I saw a church sign that I've kind of smiled at when I saw it. And in that church sign, it said, trust Jesus and wash hands. And I like that. He's saying we need to do practical things of hygiene that have been talked about. But at the same time, we're also to trust Jesus. And a part of that trusting Jesus is to be able to think through the things that we're challenged to do. So I want you to just real quick, I'm going to show these and let's talk about, just as a reminder, those eight attributes that Paul is encouraging us to think of. The very first thing that he says is you need to think about whatever is true. Think about whatever's true, whatever is honest on there. Second of all, he says think about whatever is honorable. That is things that are respectful. Third is to say think about whatever things are just. It means it's just. It means it's righteous. It is the right thing. Fourth, for you to be able to think about all the things that are pure. There's a moral purity to that. Number five, he says, think about all the things that are lovely, those that are precious, that are beautiful, that we want to think about. Number six, he says, I want you to think about things that are commendable, these things that are acceptable, these things that you would almost high five to it to say, these are commendable things. Number seven is to think about all the things that are excellent. Think about moral excellence. Think about standard of excellence, doing things right, and the excellent things that we have in life. And last of all is think about all the things that are praiseworthy, things that would give praise to God our Father. So when you see these eight things, we are going to be tempted for our minds to go towards things that would cause fear and cause panic. But yet what God's word says is, yes, take precautions. Yes, be aware of what is going on. But when it comes time to investing your thoughts in your life, this is where I want you to go. Think about the things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy. And with these things, let's focus on them. Listen, if we do this, if we think on these things, then after we think on these things and have our prayer, as we mentioned before, once we begin to do these things, then it will lead us to a life of praise to God and we'll live life the way that He desires. And so I know that during this time, there are uncertainties. And there's a lot of uncertainties about this virus and what is out there each day, because it seems like new things are coming about constantly. But I do want to remind you of one thing, and that is that there is a virus that is more dangerous than the coronavirus. It is a virus that infects every person, man, woman, and child. And when it infects every person, man, woman, and child, the effects of it are more serious because not only does it take physical life, but it takes spiritual life. And that virus is called sin. And because of that sin virus that all of us are infected with, God, who loves us so much, sent his son. And when he sent his son here to earth, he didn't put him in a protective suit. But he put him right here on earth to breathe the same air that we breathe, to eat the same foods that we eat, to walk along the same paths that we walked. And he was here to be the antidote to that virus. And he went to the cross. And when he went to the cross to die, he understood what isolation was. Because as he was arrested, everyone that was following him had run away from him, and he was there on his own. And when he was hanging on a cross suspended between heaven and earth, there was a time when all the sins of mankind were placed on him. And even God the Father, who had been in perfect relation with him since the beginning of time, of all eternity, had to turn his back on his own son and isolate himself because he could not look upon that sin. And he suffered all of that. He became that antidote for us. But see, the great news is that he became the resurrection and the life. And that he raised from the dead. And when God raised him from the dead 3 days later, he had conquered sin. He had conquered death. And has provided a way for us to come into God's presence, to be a child of God, to live a life of purpose here on earth. And one day, when we physically die and we step into eternity, we will spend eternity with God. So as we walk through this time, if you have never made that decision for Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would pray that during this pandemic, you can take care of the most serious virus, and that is the sin virus. And the great news is that Jesus Christ is already taking care of it. He's already paid the penalty for you. He's just waiting for you to accept the antidote. And I would hope that you would do that. Listen, there is a lot of uncertainty that we have, and it's uncertainty here, and it's uncertainty really all around the world. And I just want to remind you and as members of our church that we want to continue to financially support the ministries of our church because we are trying to financially support so many ministries that are taking place around the world. We have International Mission Board has 3,660 missionaries around the world. North American Mission Board has 5,200 missionaries plus another 4,000 chaplains. And by what we give to this church goes out, it helps support those people. While at the same time, it's also helping support the missionaries that have gone from our church that are serving overseas. Michael Johnson, there in Thailand, member of our church, they ran into that situation to where they were meeting and where they were housing all their schools and their worship area. They were going to have to leave that spot. And so they have been looking for a long time to find a piece of property to do some building, and they finally found it, and everything was moving forward. But now because of this virus and the travel restrictions, the volunteer help that was going to come and help build that building has dwindled down to nothing. And so all of his schedules have been placed back, which adds an increased amount of pressure on them and also even probably some additional costs. So we need to hold the rope for people like this, for the Michael Johnsons. Tim Wheat reminded me that for our North American Mission Board church planters, many of them are in schools. And as you know, many of the schools are shutting down. And so where they had places of worship, now those have been shut down, and they've got to look other places to try to find places of worship. And naturally, some of these things will have additional cost to it. So the world just keeps going, and we want to continue to support them. And so I thank you for your faithfulness in advance so that we can help keep these people on the field and continue to support those ministries. But before we close out, I want to give you a little piece of great news. Probably a couple of weeks ago, we commissioned Don McKenna and his daughter Reagan, and they were going to Southeast Asia, and they were going to backpack their way and try to reach unreached people group, people who'd never heard the gospel for Jesus Christ. And they have completed their trip, and they're on their way back home, and they sent us a report, and the report is that they had 500 gospel presentations, and 43 people received Christ as Savior. Man, going on backpacks, sleeping in the night and out in a foreign country, and being able to share God's word, and then to see God honor that with 43 people who've accepted Christ as Savior. That's a great victory. So, church family, I just want to let you know that I love you. I appreciate you. Please sure and go to our website to get all the connects and all the updates on that. And in just a moment, I want to close in a word of prayer, and then I want to send you out. But I'd like for you to make a note of this. The four things that Chad talked about to pray for that we have sent out to you, we don't want that just to be a one-day thing. We'd like to do that every day. And so we're going to start something called 406, and that is, that 406 is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And I'd like for you to set your watches or your phones to 406. And at 406, set an alarm so that when it beeps, it reminds you, I need to pray for these four things. I need to be praying for our country and for our missionaries and for our leadership and for God to take care of this virus. And that will keep us all connected in our praying. So 406, I'll leave it up to you whether you want to be 406 a.m. or 406 p.m. That'll be your call. But I hope you'll take advantage to do that. So let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that, Lord, you are on the throne, and that because you're on the throne, we can look at what the Apostle Paul has said, and that we can trust you, that we can remember the things that you have already given us, and that even when all the concerns and the worries come at us, that, Lord, we can rejoice in you, that we can have peace, and that we can be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. And that through that prayer, that you will surround us with a peace that is beyond all understanding. I pray specifically for our members. I pray you'll keep them safe. I pray you'll keep them healthy. I pray you'll help each one of our people to take seriously the warnings from the CDC and others, and to be careful. But then at the same time, may we have a trust in you. And may we use these times to be able to minister to others. May others see us as those who have a strength in our faith, a confidence in our walk with you, and that we will be there to be able to minister to them. And it's my prayer that many people will come to know you as Savior in the midst of this pandemic. So, Father, we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you are Lord over all. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.